Okay, we'll go ahead and get started with our afternoon availabilities. We have Kyle Busch here, driver of the number 18 M&M's Flavor Vote Toyota. Kyle, you're coming off your third consecutive win last weekend. Can you talk about your outlook of coming in for your fourth win in a row here at Talladega?
It's obviously a great opportunity to try to go race for four in a row, but you know, definitely a different circumstance in which we're coming to Talladega for that. So you know, I've kind of heard some of the rumblings through the week of guys that have been on streaks of three in a row, four in a row, whatever they've been on. They've never gone through a plate race to my best knowledge. So, you know, it certainly makes it for a more challenging time to be able to get that fourth in a row, but also we'll know how much more rewarding it is when we do get it.
Thanks, Kyle. We'll go ahead and open up to questions. Please state your name and affiliation. We'll go ahead and start here with Mike Embry.
Mike Embry, USA Today. The racing at Daytona was somewhat different with the new rules and so forth. Do you expect this racing to be more similar to that or similar to past Talladegas?
I would say that, man, you've got to blend a little bit of it. Certainly with the rules package, you kind of look back at Daytona as being the most refreshed race with this rules package that we all raced upon, and there's going to be guys that are going to improve on their car setups and things like that from that race, and yet it is Talladega, so it's a bit wider. The racetrack here does race a bit differently than Daytona does, so I think that you've just got to be ready for anything. I don't know that there's much that you can kind of work on or study towards or look up and try to figure out, yeah, I'm going to do this and it's going to reward me in this fashion. I think it's just so much of an unknown.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. One of the things we saw at Daytona is you got on the left quarter panel of the car beside you that could create some issues. Have teams had much time, or is there much you can really do to kind of, I guess, make that less sensitive, or is that still going to be the area, a key area come Sunday?
Yeah, no, I think that's still going to be a key area. I don't think there's anything you can do as a team really to kind of help that. I think what it is, it's just based off the amount of air that's on the nose of these cars, the buffer zone and where the air is, that then it gets packed up on that big left rear quarter panel of the car that's in front of you, and also that shark fin that's right there on the deck lid, and it just kind of pushes the car out a little bit, you know, and takes some side force away from the right side. So it's just an aero thing, and it's certainly a situation you got to be ready for when you're in competition, when guys are looking at that area of your car or doing that to you.
But it hadn't been as pronounced until this year at Daytona.
Is that the it's been there. I think it's more pronounced now because the cars are lower. They're lower to the ground. They have the no ride height rule than they did before. And so now instead of the air gap being, say, 8 or 6 inches between the quarter panel and the ground, now it's probably 2 inches between the ground. So that area in which I'm talking about is very much more exaggerated.
Okay, let's go over here.
Woody came with MRN to your left. Kyle, just wanted to ask you about, you had such great success at Bristol, and then you go to Dover where you won a thriller last time. Is the similarities between those just the concrete? They look a little bit alike, but the drive, I imagine, is quite different. Can you describe that and that drop you feel at Dover?
Yeah, certainly. You know, Dover's an interesting track. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely challenging. You should ask Jimmy Johnson about how to get around there. He's really good there, I heard. You know, we've won there a couple times, so, you know, it's nice to have a little collection of monster trophies going, but, you know, between Bristol and between Dover, there's no similarities between racetracks. You know, it's so hard with Charlotte and Atlanta and Texas. You would think, oh, by looking at them from above, they look the same. They're nothing close. So, you know, Bristol and Dover being concrete, they're both fast around the bottom of the racetrack. When Bristol got the grind, you know, it then became fast around the top. It kind of changed things. So Dover, it's still always been around the bottom, and it kind of changes throughout the race too, with the way the rubber kind of goes down there, and the way that place has worn over the years. It's definitely gotten a lot bumpier. You can kind of feel Bristol getting to that fashion too. I heard a lot of guys commenting just about how bumpy this trip to Bristol was, and how the tires were really bouncing on the racetracks. And so you get that at Dover for sure. I think Dover's maybe worse or feels worse because the amount of speed you're carrying is just greater there, that that you feel all that stuff a lot more.
Okay, let's go to Zach, then we'll go to Claire, and then Jim.
Zach Albert, NASCAR.com. Kyle, when you get on a roll like this, are you a believer in the concept of momentum, and does it kind of go out the window when you come to this place given the nature of it?
Yeah, certainly you can be a believer in momentum. I think you can also be, you know, a believer in confidence in yourself and in your team. And you know, when you're on a roll, sometimes it feels like you can do no wrong. And then some things kind of start going bad, or vice versa. You can be on a roll where it's like you don't feel like you can do no right. And, you know, so I've certainly been on those as well, too. You just never know when your next win is going to be. And so you cherish them all. Unfortunately for us, we've had 3 weeks in a row. But, man, it's just it's been a good start to the season, a great start to the season, and we're having some fun. We just hope to keep that going. We know this is a place that can kind of derail things, so you try not to let that mess up your mindset for the rest of the year and even next week going to Dover and after that.
Claire B. Lang, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. You've been pretty clear about this being sort of a crapshoot and that looking forward to it. It's not what a driver learns here, but sometimes it's just fate. But what do you think that you still feel really good that you, as an artist of a driver, can do here, and what you are still sort of working on at a place like Talladega?
Well, you kind of look at what Denny do and what Brad does, the guys that are good plate racers, the guys that are fast right now, and Denny makes the most, I think, out of what he's got for equipment. I know I got the same stuff, and I'm not quite as forceful in situations as he is, and he makes that work for him. You know, I know the Penske cars are really fast at the plate stuff lately. The Hendrick cars years ago were really fast at the plate stuff. So, you know, I just kind of play with the equipment that I have and just kind of feel like I give it everything that I got, but won't try to put myself in a bad spot to cause something. But, you know, it's always a challenge. It's always different. I feel like every time you go to a plate race, stuff is the same, but yet it's so different, that you just don't know what to expect. So, a lot of new drivers that are out there that don't have wins yet in our series that are really going to be hungry and looking for wins. So you know that they're going to be trying to punch their ticket to the playoffs and being very aggressive. So you've got to be mindful of that as well, too.
Go ahead, Jim.
Jim Utter, Motorsport.com. Before your current winning streak, you finished second, second, third, and second. When you look back on that string before you got your first win this season, can you as a driver look back and say, I know what we didn't do, I know what we were missing there that we now have? Or is there a big enough difference between not getting there and getting to victory lane that you could even explain to somebody what you were missing?
Yeah, I mean, I can look back at Phoenix. That's most memorable to me right now is I think we had a jack issue on pit road. We were close. We were fast. We were right there. I think we led to most laps. I think we were right there. We were the main contender to Harvick that day. And we just faltered on our last pit stop. And then California, same thing. We faltered on our last pit stop. We went the wrong way on an adjustment. I don't think we were going to win that race, but we were certainly going to be second, I felt like. So, you know, there's some instances in which we needed to clean up. I think I mentioned that in the time. And since then, I feel like we've really done a good job of that. And now, frankly, I praised my pit crew last week for scoring us the win at Richmond. You know, it was us having a good car, us keeping up with the racetrack all day, but the pit crew really came through in the time in which we needed it there with those final pit stops and being able to have the opportunity to control those restarts. That was key for us and being able to get away. So, you know, there's some things probably still, even at Richmond, that we can clean up and make better. Even in the wins that we've had, we can clean up and make better. You know, Bristol, I think that Larson probably had a little bit more of a dominant car than we did. It was better in the long run than we were. We got to work on that and try to make sure that that's better for the next time that we go back there. So there's always room for constant improvement.
As far as the performance of the team in general, do you feel
that's team's performance is a constant? Yeah, I think, you know, as far as our cars and stuff like that, our equipment, yeah, we've got good stuff. There's no question that we've got good stuff. I think Joe instills that in a lot of his operations and his company, and we do as drivers as well, too, in our weekly meetings. But the whole company's done a phenomenal job, and I can't say enough about what they do and how they do it. Each and every week, each and every year, we've been pretty competitive for a long streak here. Whether we've been the best team or the second best team or the third best team, I think we've been there for a long time. So I knock on wood that we can keep that and we don't fall lower than that. I think there's still room for us to gain and for us to improve. I stay on my guys all the time that, you know, this is not the time of the year to be peaking, if you will. And, you know, we know other teams are going to catch up. We know other teams are going to find things. So we have to continue to work in areas that we haven't been working right now in order to keep our advantage through the rest of the year.
Let's go to Mike and then Lee.
Was your trip into the stands last week sort of an in-the-moment thing, or are you thinking about doing stuff like that more?
Oh, no, that was spur of the moment, baby. That was a really good to a really bad idea in a short period of time.
What was the bad part of it? And it, you know, if there was any downside to it, I've got to think that you had positive response via social media this week from the fans that maybe had not engaged before.
The bad of it, I don't think we saw the bad of it, but I think anything can turn into a bad situation. So I think it was fine. You know, there was nothing terrible. So it was good. It was fun. I enjoyed that moment of being able to high-five a few fans that were right there, and was pretty cool. So as far as the engagement on social, I think that there was probably way more engagement just about the podcast than there were about the experience post-race and going up into the fans. There were some, no question, but I would say that there was a heck of a lot more just from the podcast. Do stars of the sport need to make more of an outreach with the fans? I mean, I think that no matter what we do, there can always be more done. I think that's the same thing to be said about racetracks. I think that's the same thing to be said about other sports, other athletes, you know. Why do football stadiums seem to still get crowds all the time? You know, football stadiums haven't really been changing a whole lot over the years. Certainly there are some different amenities with the mid-level section and stuff like that there's a covered area and whatever, but racetracks have kind of stayed the same for a long time. I think people are looking for a little different experiences, so we kind of all got to wake up to that some. As far as what the athletes can do, I'm not seeing, besides some Lambo leaps, I'm not seeing very many of the football players that are jumping into the stands or doing many of that or signing autographs or having, people on the sidelines right up in their game all day long. You know, when it's pre-race and there's thousands of people on pit road roaming around and asking for autographs or whatever, and you cater to many of those, that you don't see that in any other sports, you know. So our sport is very unique in that aspect, and I think it's a very fan-friendly sport, and that there's still some things we could all probably do better. But I think we're topping many of the other sports right now.
Okay, Kyle, thank you.
I got my lottery ticket, by the way, so hopefully my bad luck's out the window at my lottery ticket and all my good luck's right here at Talladega. So that's one bullet point. My second bullet point is I think we still have some tickets left available for the Bundle of Joy helmet. That's a unique piece, not just because there's pictures of the family on there with myself and Brexton and Samantha, but now it's a winning race helmet. So somebody's going to want to take that thing home. So make sure you go to KyleBusch.com or KyleBushFoundation.org to get your tickets for our charity raffle with my helmet. Thanks.
Indeed.